Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
My grandkids, at least Matt's kids, Matt and Chrissy, you know, he's starting the church over in Lodi, Wisconsin, and they have three kids. Madison, who is what, Sharon, 10? Madison's 10. Carter is 8, and Kennedy is 5. Grandmas know all that stuff, you know, and they can tell you even the birthdays and that kind of stuff, even the years of when they were born. But anyway, Matt and Chrissy were able to get away this past week. Somebody offered them a cottage down in southeast Michigan near, or southwest Michigan near Lake Michigan, and they got away. But, you know, taking a little vacation trip in the winter can be challenging. So Papa texted Matt with some suggestions of things that he could take the kids to that I knew they would thoroughly enjoy. And so I texted Matt and I said, read this to the kids. I bet they're going to be excited. I said, how about taking them to the American Arithmetic Museum? And I said, there's a great display on fractions, and there's a room where you can do long division, and there's no time limit. You can be in there as long as you want. That did not go over well. The kids did not think that was a good idea. So the next day, I made another suggestion. I said, Matt, I understand near you is the National Napping Institute, where you can go and watch people nap, or you can take a nap and people can watch you. And that's the response he got from the kids right there, just utter silence and disbelief. I was just trying to be helpful. I'm a good papa making suggestions. And then they FaceTime me. Well, Madison, she's the rascal. She said, Papa, we've got time down here. We're looking at retirement communities for you and Nana. She did. She said, we're going to kill time looking for retirement communities. Anyway, they're good kids, and we have a lot of fun with them. We're grateful to God. And I'm grateful for you being here, this opportunity. We want to focus this morning and this afternoon on celebrating his birth. And one of the reasons I'm focusing on this is because you might be going through a time when you think there's nothing to celebrate. Well, I want you to know, yeah, no matter how bad it is, you've got plenty to celebrate. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, of course, this is announcing the birth of Christ, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Let's pray one more time. Dear Lord, when we think we have nothing to celebrate or to be joyful for, as a believer, Lord, that would be a lie. Because whatever we may be going through and however difficult the circumstances may be, Lord, your birth settled everything. And it's in and through your birth that we have hope, we have help, and Lord, we even have happiness. Lord, there are some today that would try to quench Christmas and the spirit of Christmas, Lord. And Lord, may we learn today that if there's anything we ought to celebrate and that we have reason to celebrate, it's Christmas. And may it bring joy to our hearts, our families, and Lord, may it inspire joy in others as well. Lord, bless our time together as we look to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some people do have trouble celebrating Christmas. Mrs. Keener, when Virgil was alive, this time of year, I used to pick at him. And I'd say, Virg, aren't you happy it's Christmas? No, bah, humbug, don't like it, don't want to, it's a bunch of food. You remember him doing that? And it was just a routine we'd go through. And Virgil didn't mean that. I don't think he meant, or No, he didn't mean. It was just kind of a game we played. He would just get all huffy and puffy, bah, humbug, that's all commercialism and what have you. And that was a routine Virgil and I went through every year, and I knew what his response would be, and he had probably thought something was wrong with me if I didn't needle him about that. But the truth of the matter is, there are people who truly believe that it's wrong, even, to celebrate Christmas. But I think that's a serious mistake. In fact, on the screen behind me, I put it this way. Christians who don't celebrate Christmas or find it difficult to celebrate Christmas deprive themselves of the blessings that come with what should be a natural response to the good news of the birth of the Savior. There are people, I went online and I found this Scrooge, who listed what I would loosely label theological reasons why he doesn't celebrate Christmas and why he thinks Christians ought not celebrate Christmas. And he listed 10 things, and here they are. His number one reason for not celebrating Christmas is driven by commercialism. Well, it doesn't mean it has to be commercialized in your house or my house. Number two, Christmas is nowhere mentioned in the Bible. Well, neither is Sunday school. Number three, Jesus wasn't born on or near December 25th. My response would be, so? Okay, so? Number four, he says the Christmas holiday is largely a recycled pagan celebration. I only know that because I read about it. It's not pagan at my house. Is it pagan at your house? You make something pagan? I don't make anything pagan. I'd have to go back and research if at one time some of these things were pagan. That's not the case at my house, not at all. And if Christians have overtaken something and made something bad, now good, that's victory, right? Number five, the Christmas holidays are... Okay, number five, God condemns using pagan customs to worship him. I promise you, we will not use one during these holidays at this church or at my house, okay? We're not going to sacrifice babies. We're not going to do any of that. Christmas is worshiping God in vain. I quite frankly don't even understand where he's coming from with that one, so move on. Number seven, you can't put Christ back into something he was never in. That's just a slogan, a saying. Number eight, the Bible nowhere tells us to observe a holiday celebrating Jesus Christ's birth, but it clearly does tell us to commemorate his death. Well, he certainly does tell us to commemorate his death, but neither does it prohibit us from celebrating his birth. You know, nowhere are you going to read in the Bible where it says don't celebrate his birth. Number nine, again, I don't really get this one either. Christmas obscures God's plan for mankind. I don't know where he's coming from on that one. Number 10, I'd rather celebrate the holy days Jesus Christ and the apostles observed. Well, yeah, we're not saying you shouldn't observe things that the Lord wants us to observe, but that's, what's that got to do with anything? I think that's a very lame, quote, theological list he has there. But I was rather set back by the fact that even Charles Spurgeon, was down on the celebration of Christmas. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Certainly we do not believe in the present ecclesiastical arrangement called Christmas. We find no scriptural word whatever for observing any day as the birthday of the Savior, and consequently its observances is a superstition because it's not of divine authority. And you say, well, what does that show about Spurgeon? Don't you respect Spurgeon? Yeah, but it also shows he's a sinner and he gets things wrong. I just think he's very much wrong on that. What is also problematic with some people in their observation of Christmas is not just, say, quote, theological reasons, but it's just practical reasons, psychological. Some people have some social reasons for not celebrating Christmas, and I've got for you two quotes that from people that express why they have a problem with it. The first quote says, Christmas has become a burden for many. Instead of being a time to feel connected with others, it has become a time to drain your wallet, force yourself to socialize, dutifully conform to the expectations of others, and stress yourself out. Well, I mean, that's not God's fault. You know, that's not the Bible's fault. And here's another quote. It's undeniable that Christmas for many has become a source of financial burden, anxiety, comparison, and competition. And unfortunately, we end up feeling even more stressed and burned out than when we were at work, it says. Even taking a few days off is worse than being at work, I guess this person is implying here. And again, you know, that's on you. That's on you. That's not on God, you know. And that every one of those things can be fixed. Let me just give you my opinion this morning. First of all, I think you should celebrate Christmas. I think it's a mistake not to celebrate Christmas. And I think celebrating Christmas does you and others positive good. Now, I think we need to be conscientious about it. Celebrate it properly. I think we need to celebrate it in the appropriate way. But by all means, I contend that we should celebrate Christmas. So this morning, let me give you what I believe are three biblical reasons from the account of Christmas in Luke chapter 2 as to why you should and ought to enthusiastically embrace and properly celebrate Christmas. Okay? Number one, there's three this morning, and there's going to be more this afternoon. Number one, you should celebrate Christmas because it came to pass. Because it came to pass. Now, let me read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, then I'll explain. In verse number 1 of Luke chapter 2, which is really the beginning of the Christmas story, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse number 5. "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Why celebrate Christmas? Because it came to pass. The Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled. And that is worth celebrating. The fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies that prophesied of a coming Savior, a coming Messiah, that is worth celebrating. When God says something is going to happen and a period of time passes by and then it happens, that is worth celebrating. When something that you are looking forward to, something that you are anticipating, something that you are hoping is going to happen in our regular lives, when it happens, we get excited about it. Something we're hoping for, something we're praying for. I mean, I was just at North Love Baptist Church this past Sunday preaching, and that church is of significance to Sheridan and I because it was there that we were serving for about 6 to 8 weeks before we came here. And the process had been started here in Mayo about us possibly coming. And we had come, we had candidated. We had come, we had preached, we had met the people had met us. And then there was going to be a vote on a Wednesday night. And we were there in Rockford. And I told the folks there at Rockford last Sunday, as I'm preaching to them, there's a hallway over here. And I said, down that hallway, there was a phone 30 years ago, 28 years ago, whatever it was. And I said, I got word that Bob Carpenter from Mayo Baptist Church was on the phone. And I knew it was going to be the results of that vote that night as to whether Sharon and I would come to Mayo, Michigan. And all that week, I had been anticipating. And you know what? It came to pass. And I remember hanging up with Brother Bob, walking through the auditorium to Paul Kingsbury's office, sitting down with him, and he said, "Well, what'd they say?" I said, "Well, the vote was positive." And I said, what do you think? Because I like to seek counsel. And he said, I think you ought to go. But what was the, and it, so it was a time of celebration. We were excited. You start making plans. Why? Because it came to pass. And the most looked forward to event in the history of the world came to pass. About 2,000 years ago, that is worth celebrating, folks. I mean, when something comes to pass, what if that night, Bob says, yeah, we'd like for you to come. That's the answer. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I was anticipating. What if I'd have gone into Kingsbury's office and he had said, well, Mac, what happened? It was a positive vote. You excited? Very. Doesn't make sense. Is that the approach? When we think about the birth of Christ, whenever we celebrate it, it's really irrelevant. We don't know the exact date. But if you pick a date and say, this is the day we're going to celebrate it, it might have been in May, April, who knows, whenever it might be. But to know that such an anticipated event in the history of the world happened, that's worth celebrating. That's worth getting excited about. The prophecies concerning the birth of Christ were fulfilled. Here's a quote. We must always remind ourselves that the Bible records actual history and real events. This is not once upon a time. This is not fanciful stories of Zeus and Apollo on Mount Olympus. This is real. When the Bible says it came to pass, the most anticipated event, the most significant event in the history of the world, I would contend that's worth celebrating. That's worth celebrating big time. Number two, you should celebrate Christmas because the angels celebrated Christmas. The angels certainly celebrated. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And look at this. Look at how this is announced. This isn't telegram for Mr. Shepherd. think about it. Telegram for Mr. Shepherd. Oh, Savior was born. Okay. Yeah. Let's go back. Where's the sheep? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they initially, were sore afraid. Skip down to verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This is a display like the world had never seen before. This is an announcement that makes all other announcements just pale in comparison. The Lord is using angels. He's using a multitude of angels. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. And what is that all about? What is that celebrating? That is celebrating the birth of Christ. How could they not be excited? And if the angels are so excited, should we be less excited? Because it really didn't apply to them like it does to us, right? I mean, we had a whole lot more at stake in this event than the angels did. I mean, without this event, we, our children, our grandchildren, are going to spend eternity in hell without this event happening. Of course, it's the precursor to his death, burial, and his resurrection, but one doesn't happen without the other. I mean, if the angels celebrated, we should have 10,000 times more reasons to celebrate. And their celebration, I really believe, should be something for us to celebrate as well. And, we celebrate things that happen to other people and for other people. When our first grandchild was born, Jay, Jeremy and Angie were living in Greenville, South Carolina at the time, and we knew that the birth was imminent. Do you remember where we were when we got the phone call? See, this is something I remember. Do you? Well, close. Up at Mackinac. up at Mackinac. We were at the, you know, the park at the end of the bridge there, you know, the park, the lighthouse is there. We were there, and I was sitting on a picnic table when the phone came, and Sharon and I were anticipating it. And I saw it was from Jeremy, and I knew, okay, this is it. You know, he says, okay, you have a grandson. And he was excited. He was celebrating. And it was fitting and proper that we celebrate with him. And we did. I mean, it just, you know, it was so celebratory that that's one thing that I remember. You know, I remember where I was. I remember what I was doing. I remember sitting on that picnic table talking to Jeremy about the birth of our first grandson. Now, the other six, I have no idea where I was, what I was doing. Somebody told me years ago, they said, the first grandchild, you will take 10,000 pictures. And it kind of tapers off after. That's sad, but isn't it true? Or is it just me? Is it just me? I mean, it really is sad, but it's true. But anyway, it's something to celebrate. And if the angels are celebrating, we even have, you know, we can celebrate with them, but we even have more to celebrate than what they were celebrating. And if the angels are celebrating the birth of Christ, then shouldn't we? I like this quote. The angels were joyful at the birth of Christ, their Lord. Joy is no way better expressed than in praising God. They were praising God. And if they were praising God over the birth of Christ, then for us to pick a day and say, we're going to focus on the birth of Christ, I think God is pleased with that. I don't think God is disappointed one whit that we're celebrating the birth of his son. Not one whit. Number three, you should celebrate Christmas because it's the best news you'll ever hear. You can get good news. You can get great news. Yeah, you're cancer-free. Great news. Yeah, you're getting a $3 an hour raise. That's great news. That's fantastic. But there's no greater news in the history of the world than this news. Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then he elaborates, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Good news is worth celebrating. When word came back from overseas that Germany had surrendered, when Japan had surrendered, there was reason for great celebration. Even for lesser events, there is reason for celebration. I like to watch historical documentaries, and I was watching one the other day about what they call it, the Great Undersea Telegraph or whatever, the first cable that connected the United States to Europe. You know, before that time, any message would take at a minimum 2 weeks to cross the Atlantic on a ship. And it was the, I think his name was Ezra Fields, a young man and a Christian man who had the idea of bearing a cable all the way across the Atlantic over to Ireland. In fact, it left Newfoundland. And this was in 1868, I think, when they did this, or somewhere thereabouts. And when word came back that a message traveled all the way underground, that water, under the water there, a simple little, you know, Morse code telegraph, that they got that first message. I didn't know this, but in that documentary, he was talking about how there was great celebration in the United States. I mean, fireworks displays and proclamations made and newspapers celebrating it and parties, and this guy's a hero and what have you. Well, folks, if you're going to celebrate things like that, as well you should, how much more should we celebrate the birth of our Savior? And that's what the angels were doing, and that is our example. There's no better news. Oh, by the way, a footnote to that story. I learned this watching that documentary. A month later, that cable went dead. It did. And the answer was they had to bury another cable. But anyway, that's just an aside. There's no better news than that a Savior has come. Here's a quote. The Lord incarnate is placed before us. The conqueror of Satan. The Savior of man is thus revealed. Surely if our hearts can be touched by the motive of gratitude to God for his mercies, we must feel it in the commemoration of the arrival of his Son. It's the best news you will ever hear. I mean, if somebody came up to me and said, Pastor McMorris, I got some good news for you. Somebody just bought you, you know, we live on a lake, somebody just bought you, and they're giving it to you, a $35,000 pontoon boat with an 850 horsepower motor on the back. I'd probably go, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay, good. No, you know, anything that happens to any of us that's good news, we want to celebrate. Let's go out tonight. Let's go have a meal. Let's call up our camera. Let's tell folks what happened. Why would anybody want to suppress anybody if they are appropriately celebrating the birth of Christ? So the three reasons this morning, and there's more coming this afternoon. Number one, you should celebrate Christmas because it came to pass. That which had been prophesied occurred. Number two, you should celebrate Christmas because the angels celebrated Christmas. No doubt about it. It was a big deal that night. And number three, you should celebrate Christmas because it's the best news you will ever hear. And how could you not but help to celebrate Christmas? Here's a quote. We celebrate Christmas because, as the angel said, the birth of Jesus Christ is good news. Good news is meant to be celebrated. In fact, the angel said that the news of Jesus' birth would cause great joy and would be for all people. The joyful celebration would be universal. And if you were to travel to Europe today, Sharon, I'm trying to think, when we took the trip to the Holy Land and we spent a night in Belgium, was that around Christmas time? Weren't they putting up Christmas decorations? I think they were. I don't remember what month we went, but I think they were. My point is this: travel around the world to a majority of nations, and they were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I love in this quote, and I agree, good news is meant to be celebrated. Now let's leave it in perspective with this last note. The great challenge left to us is to cut through all the glitz and glam of the season that has grown increasingly secular and commercial and be reminded of the beauty of the one who is Christmas. It is true we can celebrate wrongly, but that should not keep us from getting it right and celebrating it properly, celebrating the birth of Christ enthusiastically. I mean, look at all these decorations. Aren't they beautiful? Our appreciation to Pat Wilson, who made it happen, and her little elf helpers who were here that helped her out. The lights out front. I mean, this is a testimony to the world that we are celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. We're going to have a Christmas concert to celebrate the birth of Christ. We're going to have a Christmas banquet to celebrate the birth of Christ. It is reason to be joyful. It's reason to give each other high fives, pats on the back. It's reason to express your gratitude to the Lord. Put up your Christmas lights. Put up your Christmas tree. Do whatever you feel is appropriate at your house. But make sure that you do indeed celebrate the birth of Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Those of us who are born again have reason to celebrate the birth of Christ. But perhaps you're here this morning and Christ has been just someone you've heard of, but that you don't know personally. Understand the reason he came was to pay your price. The price that we pay because we're sinners, and God, being holy and just, is required by his very nature to punish sin. And since we're sinners, he's required to punish us. And the proper punishment is to be separated from him at death for all of eternity. And that punishment is described as hell, a place no one would want to go to forever without any hope of escape. But while God is just and righteous, he is also loving and forgiving, and he doesn't want any of his creation to spend eternity separated from him. So Jesus came. God being just must punish sin, and Jesus said, "Punish me." That's why he was born. He was born to die. And he took all of our sins on the cross. And there he paid for our sins so that we would not have to. And he gained victory. On the third day he arose. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And the application of that forgiveness is applied to anyone who will simply receive the gift of salvation that he offers. He will not force it on you. He will not force you to believe. He will not force you to repent. But through your own free will, if you choose to acknowledge that you're a sinner, repent of your sins, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you die someday, you will not go to hell. You will spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.